All right, so here's what we did last week. If you don't have those filled out, I'll let you do that real quick. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We actually did go into somewhat of Colossians 1, 3 a few weeks ago, and then 2 weeks ago, we covered this right here about this prayer. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And what we just did tonight is something that is scriptural, and it's also commanded. We're told to pray without ceasing. That's one of the verses here on our paper tonight from last week, Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and then pray without ceasing. So these are commandments from the Lord. And as a local New Testament church, what we did tonight is what we're commanded to do. We're commanded to pray. And we talked about having corporate prayer. That's what we did tonight. Closet prayer is the time you spend alone with the Lord, just you and God. Crying prayer is where your heart is actually towards the things you're praying about and crying out to God for help. And calling prayer, we talked about that. And that's where you actually call somebody's name. And that's what we did tonight. We mentioned names to the Lord. You said the Lord knows it. The Lord knows their names. That's right. He does. But we find in Scripture where we're instructed to do these things. And Paul mentioned to the churches he wrote to, he would say often, I called your name out to the Lord in prayer. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. Sometimes we have specific requests. Other times we don't know what to pray. But we ought to pray one for another and at least mention their name to the Lord. And so that's something that's good to do. So a calling prayer, and then last of all was a caring prayer. And it's not just a nonchalant prayer. Brother Bonds did a good devotion for us this last Saturday at our prayer meeting. And the question he asked in the devotion was, who are you praying to? Who are you praying to? And you say, well, that's a simple question. We're praying to God. Sometimes I wonder who we're talking to when we're praying. And he brought a good devotion on that. I'm not gonna reteach it or preach it. But when we go to the Lord, we're talking to the Creator of the heaven and earth. We're also talking to our friend. We're talking to God. And so sometimes I believe we pray, but we pray out of, habit that we just need to pray. But we're really not talking to anybody. And if you've ever tried to pray or had times where you just weren't paying attention, you know what I'm talking about. We just mumble something, but we're not really talking to anybody. But in your heart and in your mind, there needs to be caring prayer where you're talking to God about someone, about something, and He listens to our prayers. And aren't you thankful that He listens to our prayers? I'm thankful for that. All right, so Colossians chapter 1, verse 4 is where we'll pick it up tonight. And try to make it as big as I can here. If I'm going too fast or you need to know something else, just slip up your hand and we'll try to answer it or make sure we don't go too fast. Let me get my notes here. So Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 4, we'll try to get a couple verses done tonight. I try not to go too late on Wednesday nights because I know folks got to get up and go to work and kids got school and all those kind of things. So if we only get 15 to 20 minutes, that's fine. I think it's more important we spend time in prayer on Wednesday nights, and so we were able to do that tonight. All right, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 4. Let me find my place in my notes here. And I have all the previous lessons. They're all online, I believe, and I have all the papers. I still have some extra ones up here from the previous lessons. If anybody wants copies of them, I'd be more than happy to get you those copies, all right? All right, Colossians chapter 1, verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. And so, again, Paul's writing this book to the church of Colossae. We're calling it the epistle of the end times because of its relevance with Laodicea. Its closeness to Laodicea and the fact that Paul told them to read this in the church of Laodicea. And so that's one of the reasons we're going over this. I believe we're in the last days. I believe we're in the last times. I believe the Lord's coming back real soon. I tell you what, it's sooner than it was yesterday, and He's coming back. And so that's why we're looking at Colossians. And so Paul starts off this book by telling them he's praying for them. Then he begins to commend them on some things. And so these people had a good testimony. They had a good testimony. And let's see here. They had a good testimony. Paul had heard of their faith. He heard of their love. And so that's a good testimony. There's a lot of things a church could be known for, and some of them are not good. Sure, we've heard testimonies of certain churches about some kind of scandal that went on in the church, or a pastor messed up in the church, or something happened, you know, that was not a good testimony in the community. I've seen churches in the news for all kind of things, and some of them are not good at all. But this is a good testimony. For Paul to have heard, he's sitting in a prison cell, and he heard about their faith in Christ, and he heard about the love that they had to all saints. That is a good testimony that he had amongst the believers. The first thing we see here in the text is that they were known for their faith. They were known for their faith. This is something I believe that's lacking in the modern church today, or the church of 2023. People go through the motions of going to church, but if you were to put their faith to the test, or if you were to question their faith, they wouldn't know what to tell you. What we're seeing going on, and I know we're live streaming, so I'm not going to mention the name of the missionary we just dealt with, but man, talk about great faith. All the obstacles that they're facing, and all of the things that they're going through, and all they're talking about is wanting to please Christ and wanting to win souls. Man, what a great testimony. What a great testimony to have in a testimony of faith towards God. And so we find here that this church of Colossae, they were known for their faith. And for sake of time, we're not going to look up these verses. You can look them up later. Many of you probably could quote these verses. Romans 10:17. So then faith. Let me switch back over here. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? By the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. These are just some verses to go with. They had these things. They had the Word of God. They heard the Word of God, and faith was a result of it. They had faith, and they had hope in things that they could not see, but they believed because they believed God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, right here, the next verse, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So based off these scriptures and based off of Paul's testimony, every one of these verses that I just read to you, or that we're writing the notes down to, Paul wrote all these books. He wrote the book of Romans, the book of Hebrews, and I know there's other books that talk about faith. But if Paul's going to commend them for their faith, what he's telling them is he knows that they believe the Word of God. They heard the Word of God. They believed it as it was the Word of God. And they understand that it's something that they can't see, but they trust God, and acknowledges that they please God. If he heard about their faith, then he knows that they're pleasing God. And just like a parent towards a child, a parent wants to know that that child trusts them. God wants the same thing for us. He wants to know that we believe Him and believe His Word, and that we trust Him. And when we say we know that God's going to do something based off His Word, and we believe that with our heart, God is pleased with that. He's pleased that we would trust Him to obey His Word. And it'll make you a much better Christian. All right? They were known for their faith. But not only that, we find in the text that they were known for their love. They were known for their love. Here's some verses that go along with this thought. Beloved, let us love one another. And we find in the text that it said that they had a love which ye have to all the saints. They had a testimony of loving one another. And again, you can hear testimonies of certain churches, and I can't tell you how many churches I've heard testimonies where there was a fist fight at the back door. Or in a business meeting, they fought over the color of the carpet. We fixed that. We took the carpet out. But people fighting over different things and arguing and bickering and just so much selfishness. And we find this church of Colossae, they just had a love for one another. And Paul recognized it. He recognized and he heard about their love. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. And I like this one. And knoweth God. This world today's got a twisted view of what love is. The Bible says God is love. And, you know, folks may say holding a baby. When you hold a baby, that's a different kind of love. And I remember holding Ella for the first time, my first child. Man, just these emotions I never had in my life before overwhelmed me. But a person that is not saved, they can have feelings towards another person, a baby, a job, or whatever, but they'll never fully understand what love is unless they know God. God is love. Knowing Him. And 1 John 4:11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And I just gave a few verses in this study, but there's so many verses that we could give you in this area of loving one another and loving God. We're not going over loving God right now because Paul's talking about them loving the saints. But in order for you to love the saints, you've got to love God. We find that in some of these verses here. John 13, 34 through 35, a new commandment I give unto you that ye, but you can't guess what it is, love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love. This is beginning to sound like a lovey-dovey message. But you know what the sad reality is? This isn't practiced like it should be. Loving one another. When you love somebody and you love your church and you love the people in them, you'll actually, give me a second, the next verse. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. You know, that's not saying that you have to partake in somebody's sins, but when you love somebody, you overlook things. You begin to overlook some things. And if it wasn't for the love of God that shed abroad in my heart and in your heart, we couldn't be in the same room together. As a general rule, I don't like people. I told Sarah that yesterday. And she goes, "What are you doing, Pastor?" And I said, "I don't know. The Lord's got a funny sense of humor." A lot of times when I get done preaching, I want to go hide under my desk. And, you know, I've had a couple of men say, "Man, you need to go to the back door and shake visitors." I said, "I don't want to talk to nobody. I just want to go hide in my office somewhere." But the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, man, that'll cause us to love somebody that we don't even know. I have met people before that are Christians, they're saved. I really don't know them from anybody, but my spirit bears witness with their spirit. I begin to hear something about their life, and I have this feeling of love towards them. And I've even met somebody before for the first time and spent a few minutes with them, and we pray together, cry together or something. And when I leave, I say, "Man, I love you, brother." How is that possible? You just met. It's because of Christ, because God, because of the love. And that's how we can love one another. And there's little things that we can all do. I talk about aggravating my wife. I find out what she's aggravated by, and I do that every day to let her know that I love her. And she doesn't like that so much, but I just try to show her I love her, that I'm thinking about her. And but there's things that everybody has personalities, and they've got little quirky things about themselves. And sometimes those little things will drive another person nuts. drive them straight up the wall. But you know what? Because we love one another in Christ, we can be in the same room together. And we can pray one for another. Right? And, you know, sometimes if they feel like you got to go out a different door than they're leaving on, but you still pray for them and love them. But hatred stirs up strife, but love covereth all sins. There's things that you'll end up overlooking or being just okay with because of love and loving one another. And for every time you think that somebody else is weird, they think you're weird too. We all have things that would bother somebody else. All right, 1 Corinthians 8:3. Look what it says here. But if any man love God, the same is what? Same is known of him. You, as a child of God, do you have the testimony of somebody that loves God? Do you know how you're going to show that you love God? It's not by wearing a t-shirt that says, I love God, when you go to the grocery store. It's going to be by loving others. It's going to be about caring for others and praying for others. And somebody will see you and say, man, that person loves the Lord. You know, as I read the missionary prayer letters, I can tell you, based off their reports, that they love God. Did they one time in there say, I love the Lord? They did not. But I can read these prayer letters, and I can read the prayer letters of others, and I can meet people even here in this room, and I can come across people, and I can leave that person and say, man, they love the Lord. Why? That's all they talk about is God, and that's what they want to share with others is the Lord, and they want you to know God, and they want to pray for you, and they love people. You can't love people the way you're supposed to unless you know God. And so, if any man love God, the same is known of him. All right, verse number 5. Let's see if we can get this one before we stop. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherefore ye heard before the word of the truth of the gospel. Paul continues here talking to the church at Colossae. The hope which is laid up for you in heaven. This is going to be a reference to our glorified body. Our glorified body. Poor Ezra. Reference to our glorified body. That those that are saved will receive in heaven. As the days go on, I'm sure that many in here would say they're looking forward to a brand new body. I don't know about you. I'm not that old, but I'm looking forward to a new body. And looking for a new body. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our vile body. We're going to get a brand new body. Change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Watch it. The hope of glory. We're getting a brand new body. This old wicked body that sins and that's been just defiled and just wicked is going to get a brand new body, a sinless, perfect body that we can worship Christ in for eternity. Romans chapter 8, verse 23 through 24. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. What adoption is he talking about? To wit, the redemption of our body. The redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. Now, I'm going to get into this later on in the study, and I may not get all the way into it tonight, but it's not a hope-so salvation. We have a hope. We're not as others which have no hope. We have hope. Our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a hope-so salvation like I hope I make it. It's I have a hope I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. And it says, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this, what? Hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. What this is talking about, and we're going to write several things here. This is talking about the perfect, sinless, and glorified body that will be like Christ's resurrected perfect body. And I'm going to, like, as I said, I'm going to get into this a little bit more later in the study and go over this hope a little bit later on. It's going to come up again when Paul's dealing with the church of Colossae. So we're going to talk about that again in a little bit. But the very moment you got saved, and there's not time to go over all the verses tonight, but the very moment that you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God took the Word of God, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and He went in and performed a spiritual circumcision of the heart. The very day, the very moment you got saved, this took place. And He separated your soul from your flesh. And then He sealed your soul. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. That's when we're going to be raptured out of here and we get this new body. So it's sealed until then. And so when He saved you, He separated your soul from your flesh. All this is found here in the book of Colossians that we're going to get into as we go through here. This is called the doctrine of spiritual circumcision. And so He separated you from your flesh. He sealed your soul. And now, whatever your flesh does not affect your soul. This is how we have eternal security. This is how it's even possible. It's because He seals the new man on the inside. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He seals the new man. Well, once that takes place, that is the part of you that is eternally secured, and you can never lose that salvation. But this old nature, this old Adamic nature, this old man is still capable of sinning. It's still capable of thinking things you shouldn't think. It's still capable of doing things that you should not do. And that is why we're thankful for verses like 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We go to God and say, Lord, me and my flesh, I've sinned, I've messed up. I've wandered away from You, and I need to get right with You. I need to restore our relationship, and not having anything to do with Your salvation because You're sealed. But your flesh will still sin. And not until we get this new body will it be perfect and sinless. And so, especially a new Christian, when they first get saved, the devil will ride their back the first time they sin and do something they shouldn't do. Because he'll say things like, I thought you were saved. You know, if you were really saved, you wouldn't do that. Well, the truth is, your flesh that's sitting right here right now is just as capable of doing anything a lost man could do because you're in this flesh. I hear sometimes of people that say they're saved doing some really bad things. And I will say, I don't know how a saved person could do that. And I really don't. That's between them and God. But I'm telling you, your flesh is capable of doing anything. You hear somebody that's fallen or into some kind of sin, most of the time they didn't fall into it. They stepped right off in it or they dove into it. Most of the time they knew exactly what they were doing. And you hear of them doing that. I hear stories of men running or cheating on their wives or whatever it might be. And these things happen, and they say that they're saved, and I don't know how a saved person could do that. You're in this old stinking flesh, and that's why Paul said, I die daily. That's why he had to beat his flesh into submission every single day. He had to do this. And that's why we're encouraged to do that. That's why we need to read our Bible every day. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to be faithful to the house of the Lord, be faithful to church. That's why we need Christian fellowship. Iron sharpeneth iron. We help one another. Why? Because of this old stinking flesh. I promise if you were to get out of church for even 3 months and don't go to church, don't read your Bible, don't pray, find out what kind of condition you'll be in 3 months. You'll go downhill so fast. You're still saved. There's people that I know of people personally that I went to church with, that we went to church with, that got sideways with God. They got bitter or upset, got out of church, and their life's carried on every day and have nothing to do with God or church. But they're just as saved as you and I. We get to heaven, we'll see them standing there. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is going to be a very challenging thing. It's going to be challenging for us that are in church, but we're still not doing what we're supposed to. But what I'm getting at is, this body of flesh is still capable of sin, but one day we're going to get a glorified body. It's going to be a sinless body, a perfect body. It's going to be a glorified body just like the body of Jesus Christ. So when we see the word hope in Scriptures, it's not speaking of a hope so. It's speaking of a know so. I know for sure. And the Bible talks about this glorified body. And there'll be more verses on this later. One of the best verses on it's in the book of Titus. And looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at that later on as we go through here. So I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to pick up next week still in the middle of this verse and look at the truth of the gospel. All right, let's all stand. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for praying. And Lord willing, we'll be back here next Wednesday.